Well, I was hoping for some audience participation for this sermonette today. This is definitely one that the kids can shout out for. Anytime you can yell during the sermon or the church service, that's a great day. So I thought I'd start out by asking for you to describe me. Just like one word, two words. And remember, it's a Sabbath, so you have to be kind. You can't say balding, but you could say tall or something like that, something nice and kind. So you could just shout it out, one or two words. Go ahead, shout out.
Awesome.
Kind. Amazing.
Father.
Husband. I heard handsome, probably. What else we got? One or two more?
Father.
Father, yes, that's a good one to my kids.
Really funny.
Really funny. I'll put an asterisk next to that one. Now, this one has kind of been on my mind lately as I'm about ready to go to a work conference next week. And if you've ever been to a work conference, or if you start a new group at school, or a new club, or something like that, you know that you have the same sort of conversations over and over again. You have to kind of give a little bit of context about who you are, how you fit in with this group, and you have to do it just kind of in a quick soundbite. You can't say, well, let's sit down for 45 minutes and get to know each other, and then you'll know who I am. Instead, you have to do something quick and simple. You have to say, hi, my name is Mike. I work for such and such. This is my role. And next week, I'm going to have those same sort of conversations over and over again. Just quick little sound bites that help to identify who you are and the context of how you fit into this group that you are in. And that made me think about Jonah. Let's go back to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. This is my favorite book of the Bible, and this is one of the scriptures about it. And this whole book is filled with tasty tidbits, just like what we are going to read here today. It's scattered throughout Jonah. And I thought maybe before we jumped in to Jonah, if one of the kids just wanted to shout out what Jonah is all about. Anyone remember what Jonah? Go ahead. Okay, so it's kind of a big thing that happens in Jonah. He did that. God asks him to do something. He says, no, I'm good. And he goes in quite literally the opposite direction. And as we know, God kicks up this storm here. And by the time we get down to verse 7, there's a huge storm brewing. And what's kind of lost in the context is that these people that are running the boat, these are not amateurs, right? This is what they do for a living. So this isn't like a fluke weather event that just happened to pop up. This isn't just like a strange storm that came out of nowhere. Immediately they know right out of the gate that this is something supernatural and that someone or something was the cause of this problem. So they go to each of the individuals. They try to figure out like who's here? What are they all about? What are they from? You know, what's their story? What's their identity? Let's pick it up here in Jonah chapter 1. In verse 8, this is after they've cast lots. All the signs here now point to Jonah. They come up to him, and they're trying to figure out, what is your story here? And they said to him, they're talking to Jonah now, and they said, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Basically, they're asking, what is your deal here? Like, who are you? Where are you from? Like something is happening here. You seem to be the cause of it. So what is your identity? Who are you? Notice how Jonah answers because he doesn't quite give the answers to the question that they ask. Jonah 1 now verse 9. And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. Okay. Then get this. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. So Jonah identifies himself as a Hebrew and as a follower of the one true God in heaven. And even the Hebrew part, since most of the time people thought the deities were regional based there, so even by saying that he's Hebrew, he's giving context into that God that he follows here. And Jonah, in the heat of this trial, when this boat is being tossed around, when people are coming at him, shouting, trying to figure out what his deal is, the first thing that comes to his mind as he's explaining himself is the context of his God, who he believes. That's first and foremost the most important part of his identity. Now, have you ever introduced yourself like that before? Next week, when I'm at the conference, I don't think I'm going to say, hi, my name is Mike. I belong to the Northern Virginia United Church of God. I'm a Christian. Now, if I did, maybe that would get some good responses. I don't know. Maybe that would raise some eyebrows. I don't know. But if I only had a couple of quick seconds in order to introduce and give context of who I am, how would I do it? Would I do it in the way that Jonah did here? Now, that doesn't literally mean that we have to introduce ourselves in the exact same way, but rather it is about how we think of ourselves internally, and as a result, how we then interact with people that we come across. Now, if I were to go into my conference next week and keep that in the forefront of my mind, maybe, hopefully not, but maybe that might make me act a little bit differently. If I'm thinking first and foremost that I'm a Christian, that I'm a follower of the true way, then I might not make any business sales, but maybe all the people would come away thinking that I'm honest, straightforward. I have integrity when I speak. In other words, when I'm describing myself, maybe I want to rearrange a few of those words so that a couple others bubble up to the top first, instead of it being maybe a father or a husband or tall or something like that, which are all true and ways to describe myself, maybe being a Christian, maybe having integrity, maybe some of the fruits of the Spirit then should be bubbling up before those. I want to head back to Acts chapter 6 for just a moment. Acts chapter 6. Now, at the start of this chapter, we get a bit of a complaint about the physical needs of the church at that time, that they were being neglected, and they want to come up with a new way of organizing, and they find some helpers that could jump right in and help take care of the problem. But one question that immediately pops up is, how do you find the right people to do that? Let's jump in here. Acts chapter 6, we'll read just verse 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, the Greek words here for good reputation mean an honest report or a good testimony. A good testimony of the Holy Spirit and how wisdom is working within their lives. In other words, pick people that have the identity of a Christian and the Holy Spirit working within them as the first characteristic. That way they have demonstrated to be worthy. These individuals selected in Acts chapter 6, they might not have introduced themselves by saying, "Hi, my name is Stephen. I'm a Christian. I belong here to the church at Jerusalem. I'm a believer in the one true God." However, their identity still brought that to the forefront and how they were behaving in their lives. So in a way, they didn't need to introduce themselves in that way. Well, in conclusion, hopefully the next time we have to put on a name badge of some kind, at least in our minds, let it be clear right from the start for us and for all of those around us that we are a spiritual Christian first and foremost. That if people were describing us, that would be the first thing that they throw out as the most important part of our identity and something that forms who we are all the way through.